or near enough. Sick and tired of that old man looking down on us. Come together as we think we got a plan. Save a teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Flat Nickel Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Nawa, joined by my always producer and at this point always co-host, Mr. Sam Fritz.
See, but with what I wanted to talk about, we might be explaining why I am the sometimes co-host.
Yes, he is going to be the sometimes co-host because there are going to be some interviews coming up in September that I don't think you're going to be here for.
I, at the very least, will miss one in late August.
Oh, yeah. I do have
which is that. That's what I was going to talk about when we get there. But Continue with the typical intro.
Oh, I mean, I was just stating that you're listening to the Flat Nickel Podcast, an independent podcast brought to you every Wednesday by us, the Flat Nickel family.
Flat Nickel Family.
Yeah, guys, hashtag Flat Nickel Family. That's something that we've been doing. It's something that is a term that I've been using for the past couple years since Flat Nickel Management became a thing, which is the management company that this podcast, I guess, is umbrellaed a part of.
As long as you claim it as yours, yes, I would say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, well, Flat Nickel Management is a company that my family started just for us to work on various music endeavors. And the podcast is technically umbrellaed under that. I always forget that for some reason. But anyway, you, of course, are listening to the Flat Nickel Podcast. We are currently recording in studio, so it feels a little bit weird in comparison to when we record our other intros, which are either just like, which are normally on my iPhone at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird to be doing it in studio, but I kind of like it. This is our second phone interview that we did today. Today's episode, before we start our banter, I guess we should do banter first, shouldn't we?
I would say let's introduce the episode banter and then we do the little, with that said, let's get into the interview.
Okay. Today's episode was with Townsend. He is an awesome singer. He just released a new single. Actually, today that we are recording this is the day before that he is releasing the single. I don't know why I said it like that. The song's being released tomorrow. but if you're listening to this, it's technically already out. So you guys should definitely go and check it out. And we had quite an interesting conversation and found out about his TV past, which I did not know about going into this interview, which is very interesting.
Yeah, this interview, I think it opened up when you got surprised by.
I was literally just sitting here like with my arms open and my face just in shock because I had absolutely no idea that he was on a TV show.
Yeah, but this was an interesting interview for me because this is our first social media star endeavor, correct?
This is the first person that reached out to us.
That's also true. Yeah,
that we didn't know, that just reached out to us and said, you know, hey, I have a new single coming out. And I want you to share it on your podcast. And I was just, yeah, absolutely. That's incredible that, you know, people are starting to notice us enough that they want to reach out and have us interview them. So that was really cool.
Yeah, he wanted some of that Flat Nickel clout.
Don't say clout. My mom said clout the other night, by the way. Like, I don't know how it came up in conversation, but, we may have been talking about the Ottawa video. She goes, well, now you have, like, all this clout. And I'm like,
I mean, you do.
I regret teaching you that word.
I understand that the word is generally associated with very pretentious people. But, you know, it's true. We got clout.
Is it associated with, like, drugs?
No, I think it's,
I don't know.
Whenever you hear the story of, like, that obnoxious YouTube personality.
Wink, wink.
And they go like, I got that clout.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotcha. The people who use it seriously.
Right. Well, they overuse it seriously.
Yeah.
You can use the word seriously and be just a regular person. But when you overuse it, but yet it means something like really big to you, that's when it gets a little obnoxious.
Gotcha. YouTube stars.
So you were asking what I've been up to lately as for what we wanted to talk about for the intro.
Yes, I was. So we last night Sam came into town and we got barbecue with one of his friends. And I had overheard them saying, Sam said that he was going to drop me off back at my house and then he was going to go to this guy's backyard. And that's what I heard. And so I asked as we're eating dinner, I said, so what are you guys going to do in your backyard? And Sam just starts laughing and take it away.
Well, the exact phrase was we were going to go and then play some backyard. And we but we said we were going to go play some backyard. And that was short for Backyard Baseball, a video game from 1997.
Before I was born, by the way.
Yeah, yes, a video game that predates you. And I mean, I was only 3 at the time that this game was released. Yes. So, but yeah, we went and we played Backyard Baseball. We also played Backyard Football. They have backyard every sport.
What's it on?
Computer.
Desktop game.
As the years went by, they started releasing it on consoles, but that's kind of when the game became not fun. It was fun when it was on the computer, and they were just these little kids. Like, everybody who knows what I'm talking about, Backyard Baseball, knows that the GOAT of any backyard sport is Pablo Sanchez. Just this little tiny little boy who, for whatever reason, the people who created the game went, we're going to make him the best at everything. And if you look at his stats in every game, it's like maxed out across the board. And so, but yeah, I went over to my friend's house. We played some backyard baseball and, I won the game that I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played some backyard football and I lost miserably.
Mm. Speaking of baseball.
Yes.
Last night we watched the Indians versus Twins game. Just so great. I'm a huge Indians fan, guys. I am a massive Cleveland Indians fan. I have way too many t-shirts that say that I'm a Cleveland Indians fan.
You have way too much Cleveland merchandise.
Yeah, I have a lot. I have a problem of every time I'm in Cleveland, I feel like I buy something that's Cleveland themed. But Cleveland people love Cleveland. Like, there's so much pride for that city, and it's incredible.
There are very few cities, like major cities, in which there is no, like, you know, go to a city in Texas and tell them not to be proud of where they're from and see how long you last, you know?
Do you think Trenton loves Trenton?
Look, sometimes you're just born where you're born, right? You know? I think one of the city that I'm from, Indianapolis, I think it is hard to find somebody who will scream their pride of Indianapolis the way that I do. I don't think many people are proud of that area. I always use the phrase, people believe the South will rise again and the Midwest will rise when we get around to it.
It is so much slower in the Midwest. That's one of the things that I've noticed about Ohio is just like everything is so much more leisurely. And I think it's that way in New England too. From my experience in New England, it's a lot more slow paced, whereas, you know, an East Coaster, it's just like constantly go, get things done.
Pennsylvania really is an anomaly compared to the states that surround it, you know. Having lived here, you know, moving here for me was in a sense a bit of a culture shock, because it really is a different place. It's a different vibe and atmosphere, and, you know, people kind of just move differently.
Does it feel at all Southern to you?
Not really. I mean, like, so I didn't move to a very Southern area. I moved just outside
very
of Philadelphia.
East Coast, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very much in with the Philly crowd. That's who I grew up seeing a lot of. And then, you know, I drove through Lancaster occasionally, so I would see the Amish. But I came to visit family in Pennsylvania, so I wasn't really shocked by the Amish. I knew who and what they were. And then I didn't really get the Southern feel until I went to Shippensburg.
Yeah, the area that I'm from and that I grew up in South Central Pennsylvania, which is very rural, is very, very Southern. Like, when my mom speaks to her relatives, like, her natural accent, the way that people speak that are from here, is very Southern. Like, it has a very distinct drawl to it.
If you go back to the Megan Jean and the KFB interview that we did, I don't know if there is a single time in that interview in which she refers to Pennsylvania as Pennsylvania.
And not Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think I don't quote me on this. I haven't fact checked.
It is pretty accurate.
Oh, no, I'm not saying she's inaccurate. Pennsylvania is certainly a thing that exists.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, it's gorgeous here. I love the mountains here. I love that sort of small town life. I cherish that a lot. You know, that very sort of laid back small town, everybody knows everyone life. I like that a lot. And I'll definitely miss it when I'm living in the city, but yeah, it's so distinctly different from, I think, anywhere else on the East Coast as far as lifestyle goes, because it is so southern for being a northern state.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's really interesting. I don't know. I like this area a lot. I love the mountains, which I, like, hadn't thought about how much I loved the mountains until we went to Charlottesville for that interview.
When were we doing the
We were
Barons
driving
area,
yeah. down Virginia, and it was so, like, so beautiful in that area.
We saw not one, but two, count them, two scenic lookouts.
Yeah, we've decided, and we didn't stop at either of them, and I so regret it because I thought there would be more. And so I've decided that anytime we travel for interviews, we have to stop at the scenic outlooks. But that being said, we're going to go ahead and hop it into the Townsend interview. Check it out. All right, so we're going to go ahead and hop into the interview. Basically, the way that this works is I have a couple of topics that I want to discuss with you, but it's pretty much just a free-form conversation. So if there's something in particular that you want to talk about, if you want to go off on a tangent about something, then you're more than completely welcome to do so. We're pretty laid back here.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. So one of the first things that I wanted to ask you is you've released a couple of covers this past summer, right? I saw some Zed and a couple other covers through your music, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What sort of, you know, brought about the desire to release an original piece of music?
I just feel like it was ready. It was time for me to release release original music because I've been doing a lot of covers. I've been doing a lot of covers lately for about like probably like a year or two. So I've been just like getting a lot of feedback on my covers. So I actually got a mentor. His name is Matthew Burrell, and he actually took me under his wing and just like helped me out in that aspect of everything. And he's like, bro, we gotta get you a song. And I actually got in that way, which is cool.
Did you feel like the covers were sort of a way for you to, like, regain, I don't know, get your footing before you put out something that was your own?
Yes, I felt like it was, I felt like it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot build a fan base off of it.
Mm-hmm.
My first cover, I did a cover to Sam Smith's To Get By, and I released that a couple months ago. And that was my first cover ever, me singing ever. And I gained over, I think I have almost 45,000 plays on it so far.
That's awesome. Have there been sort of particular covers that you've done that you felt more comfortable with? Have there been ones that maybe you felt were a little out of your comfort zone that you decided to go after? How did you like pick the songs that you wanted to make your own?
So I'm really good, like, it depends, because I'm a really big fan of, like, James Arthur, and I love, like, R&B, soul music as well, pop, and I just go off of how I feel, like, if I feel a certain way or a certain way, I'll just sing that song, you know, if I can relate to it, I'll sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a little easier for me. That's really about it. I just did a recent cover to Drake In My Feelings recently, mm-hmm. probably, like, couple days ago, and it was out of my comfort zone because I don't really sing like that, and I was trying to just switch up into my way to make it sound good in my way, and I was just like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. So it took me like a week to actually get it together and be able to sing that song. So it was like really hard for me.
I feel like one of the cool things about covers is that a lot of artists, you're able to really just put your own spin on a song.
Yeah.
You make it personal for you, and then, you know, I feel like a lot of times if someone relates to your version and a little bit more or a little bit differently than to the original artist. It's like such a great way to covers allow for so much creative freedom, even though you're working off of somebody else's song, which I think is just really cool to see. And we really liked what we heard when we looked up your covers. So we like the song that you're about. Did you put the song out yet?
No, it actually drops at midnight tonight on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora,
awesome.
Amazon, Netflix, everywhere.
So we're definitely going to post about it tomorrow when it's officially out, and then we'll, of course, include it in this episode. But that's so exciting. That's awesome. So, like, what's the background for this new single? Did you write with someone? Did you work with a producer? Was there sort of a certain headspace that you went into it with of a motive of sorts that what you wanted the song to be like?
Okay, so I actually wanted to record a song which where I can relate to other people, and like I've seen other people's relationships and things like that, and I'm just like, okay, like I need to write about this. I wanted people to be able to feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote my producer's name. His name is Mayo. Mm-hmm. Mayo, and he produced it. He produced the whole song, but I just was like, hey, we should do this song. I want something similar like this. And he wrote for me as well. I kind of co-wrote on the song as well, which is really cool. And we recorded the song. We were in studio for 12 hours recording the song, which was pretty cool. It was awesome. It was like a good experience for me as well. This is like my first actual song ever, original track ever.
Did you know him prior to working on this project? How were you introduced to him?
So my mentor actually introduced me to him through a friend. And I was just like, hey, I met him one time. My friend, he has a thing called Slam Fest at his shore house during the summertime. So we actually were there, and it's like a lot of artists come together, and we all just like everybody just sings and plays guitar and plays instruments. And I met him there, and I seen him on Instagram, and I was like, hey, I need a producer. And I ended up hitting him up, and he was like, you want to move me? He's like, yeah. And we just went from there, and just like a month later, got in the studio and recorded that chemistry.
Was this your first experience working with an outside producer?
I feel like it was actually really good because we have mutual friends, so I knew he was a good person, and it was just like, it felt like just really cool. Like, the vibes were cool in the studio. I feel like I knew him for like years, so it was actually a good thing.
That's awesome. How did, you know, what was just sort of your emotional process feeling, you know, doing your first original piece? Like, how were you nervous at all? Were you really excited? You know, what was sort of your emotional process? What has that been since you recorded the song and now you're about to release it? Like, are you anxious for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about it. I'm looking forward to putting it out. And I've been like waiting for the past few weeks. It's been like, oh my gosh, like, please just drop already. Please let something to go out already. Cause I'm just like so anxious. And it was nice, like recording the song was very, like, I was nervous recording that chemistry because that was my first time actually recording my own song ever, like my own particular song. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I hope people like it. I hope they like it. And then actually let other people hear it, like my friends, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so good. And I was like, thank you. But I didn't expect that. I expected like, okay.
I was gonna ask if you had shared it with like your family and friends and what their reactions were. So they really loved it.
Yeah, my family was just like, they're like so excited for it, they're ready for it to come out. My friends are like totally, they're like super excited. They're just like, we can't wait to drop it tomorrow. Can't wait. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you guys are giving me anxiety.
So you said that it's going to be dropped on a bunch of streaming services. You mentioned Pandora and Amazon and all that stuff. What streaming services are you putting it on, and what kind of Why did you decide to use those particular services? Can you just talk a little bit about your experience with that?
So actually, it's being released under a label Cut Telegraph Records.
Okay.
They took care of all of that for me. So it's going to be released under their. It's going to be released under their label called Telegraph Records. So I'm not signed to them or anything yet. So it's just like just they're just putting it out
mm-hmm.
under them. So they just made that decision on wherever it's going to go.
Okay. How did you get involved with Telegraph Records? Was that through your mentor? Was that
my mentor? It was through my mentor.
And how did you meet your mentor, by the way? Just like out of curiosity, so, can you tell me a little about that relationship?
It's so crazy how it happened. So I actually met my mentor through a friend. His name is my friend Enzo. I ended up meeting him through I was a bartender, and we ended up I actually went up going to his house with my friend, and I actually met him there. And he was like, "Oh, you have good vibes." Like he's like, "Bro, we gotta hang out." And after that, we hung out, had a couple times. And then we became, like, really close. Like, he's, like, my big brother now, you know. So, like, if I have a problem, like, calling him, like, Matt, like, I need your help, like, or something. He's always, like, there for me to help me. So it's, like, it's really an awesome thing that I met him. And I met him, like, through, like, bartending, which is, like, crazy.
It seems like you met him at, like, just the right time, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just
perfect timing.
Perfect. Is music something that, like... Are you doing music part-time? Are you doing music full-time? Are you sort of balancing it with, you know, a second job? What's your situation as far as doing music as a profession?
So I work a second job, but I work on the weekends. But I do music, like, mostly full-time, but I work only on, like, Fridays and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. That's about it as of right now. And I'm just like working on my EP. Mm-hmm. That's what I plan on working on now. So I can get that out there sometime in the winter, around there.
As far as like you mentioned that you were a bartender, I know that that's a job where you experience a lot of other people's stories just by them sitting at the bar and talking with them and witnessing them as sort of a fly on the wall. Has that sort of influenced your songwriting at all? You mentioned that when you were working on Bad Chemistry, you kind of witnessed other people's relationships and you wanted to pull from that.
Yeah, that's what I did. I just went from like people's relationships and my friends' relationships and seeing other people's relationships out in the open. And I get a lot of inspiration from places. Like I'll be like, if I'm getting on the train or I'll see stuff going on and I'm like, okay, I need to write about something like that. Or someone's having an argument or disagreeing with each other, I try to chime in on that and be like, okay, maybe I can use that. I'm like, maybe I can use that for something. And I just get all my inspiration from things. Like somebody could be dancing, because I produce as well sometimes, like to produce like remixes and things mm-hmm. like that. And I like movement, like I could be in a bar or a club dancing and I see somebody like dancing a certain way and I'm taking like that, the way they're dancing as like, I'm making a beat in my head, which is really crazy. It sounds crazy. And I just go off of like their movement. I'm just like, okay, snap, thing. And I'm just getting inspiration off of that, which is really crazy.
That's incredible. Like that's a sign of a good writer is being able to just sort of witness the world around you and draw from it. Like that's a great thing to hear. I don't feel like we've talked a whole lot about songwriting in our podcast. In general.
No. One thing that I noticed that you said, and I wanted to follow up on, is you said that you're working with Telegraph Records, but you're not signed to them.
Yeah, I'm working with them. So I'm my song is being released under brought to you. It's going to be brought to you by Telegraph Records.
Right. Are you using this as a trial run to maybe sign with them in the future or for when you do eventually release the EP? Or is this sort of something that you see as a one-time only working with them and then you're going to go and kind of expand your view as you start to create more original music?
I feel like one day I probably will be with them because I'm very like they're very good people to me. They're like my friends as well. And I could see myself with them, you know. I don't think I would probably go anywhere else.
You feel comfortable. Like that's, that's the people you want to work with.
Yeah, like, I trust them. I feel like I can trust them to be around these people, you know? And I had that, they have my best interest at heart, so
I think
I would be there.
Is that something that's kind of been a big factor in, because I'm picking up on with what you're talking about, a lot of, you know, people who you can trust, people who you've worked with before, people who you've definitely established a good relationship with. Is that something that you carry with you through your life, or at the very least in your professional life?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's times, like, there's a lot of people out here in this industry that are very, like, they're very, like, sneaky. It might be like, okay, cool, any opportunity I can be like, okay, I'll go here. I have a better opportunity here, but I feel like if I'm very loyal to these people and they're loyal to me, I'll stick with you no matter what, you know? So that's how I move. I just like to stay in a place where I'm comfortable, whatever happens, I'll still be loyal and be here and not be like, okay, cool, shit's going bad. Let me go over here to this side. You know what I mean?
That's actually really cool to hear you say, because we've been talking a lot lately about the podcast and like how we want to market it and how we want to have sort of like this tight-knit community of artists that we're interviewing and really support them and encourage them and help them out in any way that we can. And one of the ways that we have sort of talked about it is using the hashtag No Hollywood Friends, because when I, a couple of years ago, I got an invitation by, like, as strange as this is to say, a world-renowned banjo player, and she invited me to come visit with her in California, and she said, like, this is 100% for real, this isn't a Hollywood offer. And I realized in this industry, like, there are so many people who are, for lack of a better term, fake, and like, they'll be friendly to your face, but they aren't actually interested in helping you at all. Or like, if you ask a bigger artist for advice, you know, they'll kind of give you something that's a little bit generic because they aren't really that interested. And so we're really like living by this motto of like, no Hollywood friends, like, this is the real deal. We support you. We want to help these artists. We want to work with you. And that's like so cool to hear that like other people care about loyalty in business. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we've been talking about like how we want to bring up the No Hollywood Friends thing. So that was the perfect thing to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know that, you know, you have Instagram. That's how you found us and that's how we found you.
Right.
What tools have you been using to like market yourself as an artist? And has that changed at all since? Has that changed at all now that you're releasing original music?
So I market myself on Instagram and Twitter. I started just recently using Twitter again, Facebook, but mostly my Instagram page, because I don't know if you guys seen. I actually filmed the show on MTV, which is called MTV Crash Karaoke, and I actually filmed it in New York City, but it aired in the UK. In January, probably. I filmed it in January sometime, and it aired in the UK, so I kind of got a little following from that show, which is pretty crazy. I got a little following from that show, so that's how like kind of gave me a little following from there.
I had no idea. That's so cool. I have to ask you. I have so many questions to ask you about that. I had no idea. So can you repeat the name of the show again for me?
It's called MTV Crash Karaoke.
Crash Karaoke. Okay. So I don't even know where to begin.
Well, just for the listener, and especially for myself, actually, because I haven't heard of it, can you give us the premise of what Crash Karaoke is?
So it's like a show you go into, and it's like the show goes to different places. Like, my scene was like a bridal, it was like a bridal party. And what they did was they just came out of nowhere, ran inside. Because when I got the email, I didn't know. They didn't tell us what TV network it was for. It was like a surprise. So it was really crazy. And they actually came and ran in. And it's like, oh, welcome to MTV's Crash Karaoke. And I'm like, oh, what is going on with this? You know? And what they do is you spin the wheel. And they actually, like, okay, they're going to choose you out of the crowd. And you sing a song. Like, you're at a karaoke show, like, or a karaoke bar or something like that. And you just sing, but they go to all these different random places. Like, they did it on the plane. They did it at a restaurant. They did it at a college. Like, they just go different places and just do karaoke. Which is pretty crazy.
Is that something that you applied for? Like, did you see a casting call somewhere and apply for it?
No, I actually have a friend that works in the industry, and he actually emailed me and was like, "Hey, like, I'd be like the thing you should go out for this, like, they're looking for singers." And I actually auditioned. Well, I actually went and sent the email, and it was like probably 2 days before I had to go to New York, and they're like, "Hey, like, can you come film in New York on Friday?" And I was like, "Okay, I have to work." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I gotta make it here. And I actually went and like went that day, came back home that night, and I was like, "Okay, cool."
And you said that aired exclusively in the UK.
Yes. So if you Google Into Crash Karaoke, I'm sure you can like find it.
What was your response when you heard that it was gonna be aired in the UK? Like, were you surprised?
I was surprised. I was like, I thought it was going to be over here. So I'm telling my friends, like, "Hey, guys, like, it's going to be on TV, on MTV, on so-and-so day. Make sure you guys watch it." And then it's just like, I'm on the internet and I'm like, "Wait, this is not here. This is in the UK." And it's hard to get it. It's hard. It's so crazy because it's hard to, like, find it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not on our internet, but it's like you can watch it on, like, different things in, like MTV Brazil or MTV, like, Australia. Which is crazy, or like in London. So I was reaching out to a lot of my followers and I'm like, "Hey guys, like, if you see me on TV, like, send me a video or something." And they're like, "Okay, cool." And I actually found this one MTV website, which I didn't know MTV had different, like, in different countries they had their own MTV, which is crazy. I didn't know that. And I actually found it and I actually like kind of video recorded it on my phone and I was like, "I gotta post this now."
Oh,
but it was in like a different language, which is crazy.
That is because you know that they had to like dub everybody else in the room from English. Like they had to have somebody come in for MTV, record what the other people were saying in whatever language it was being broadcasted in, which is like, it's such a crazy.
It was so weird. So and I was just like, but I did find one with me actually talking English. But it has like the like different right. It has like the writing on like the writing text under it, and it's like a different language. I don't know what language it is, but it's like from what I have on my Instagram, it's just like this weird language, which is crazy.
So have you been able to sort of find out like what particular countries your followers are from? Has anybody reached out and said like, "Oh, I saw you on Crash Karaoke"?
I actually have it on. Wait, I can actually. I can like check through my like Instagram. I'm not sure. I have like a lot. I have a following from Rio, like the UK most likely, like mm-hmm. probably like in London, Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of places. Like where I live at, a lot of people will follow me from here too as well. But like Brazil, Turkey, Russia, Indonesia. Like I have like a lot of people from different like places that follow me, which is crazy.
That's crazy. I have a bunch of friends in Australia, so I'm gonna like message them and see if they've heard of this show and see if they
yeah,
can watch
see
it
they
online.
Can, see they can find it.
Yeah, because I have a bunch of friends in Australia, so that would be super cool if they could find it and send us like
a
recording for this.
That's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's crazy. I absolutely did not know that at all. Like that's.
I like posted it one time. It's on my Instagram. I posted it, but I really didn't keep posting about it. I just like posted that one time and I was like, "Okay, whatever." But I was like so excited about it and I thought I was going to air over here and I'm like waiting for it on MTV. I'm watching MTV. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's going to come on TV. And then it never showed up and I'm like, "What is going on?" So I went on the internet and just started Googling things and I Google episodes and it's just like overseas in the UK. And I'm just like, "What the hell?"
Have you tried to break in, like, after you made that appearance on Crash Karaoke, have you sort of tried to break into that MTV space at all even further? You know, I mean, if you get your foot in the door once, have you applied to be on any more TV shows or get any more exposure through television?
Not really. Like, I haven't really, like, I don't know, not really. I haven't, but I have, like, say, Riley, I have some friends that are on TV. Like, my friend, she's on the show Love & Hip Hop. Her name is Bianca. I don't know if you guys know the chicken and the soup girl. When it's like chicken and the soup, what is that on the side?
I've never seen Love and Hip Hop, but I am gonna Google it right after
this.
It's
a little ratchet.
I'm excited to watch it now though, because that'll.
That's pretty cool. Like, I don't know if I would be like. I don't know. I wouldn't mind being on TV, but I haven't been pushing to get to like in that particular place and like on TV.
Have you?
You know, if it happened, I would be like, cool.
Have you like had any consideration on if you were gonna apply for any sort of televised talent show? Like, have you ever considered doing like an American Idol thing? Or, I mean,
I thought about it.
It's a really hard, like, it's a really hard space to work out of because there's so much paperwork that limits you from doing your own thing after the show airs.
Right.
But
yeah, for sure.
It does like. I've known a handful of people that have been on that sort of thing and gained a little bit of fame off of it, or at least, you know, a decent following
yeah,
that launches
sure.
them. But it is, like, I feel like there is such a downside of, like, I've heard stories where you know, you can't release your own music if you get eliminated from the show for, like, however many months until after the show is airing, or, like, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement and, like, all that stuff that
yeah,
would just make
sure.
it so difficult as an artist to, like, you constantly want to be releasing new music.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's the crazy part. I don't know if I would do it. Like, I thought about doing, like, American Idol or, like, The Voice and stuff like that, but I just, like, looked at myself and I'm like, I can't do it. I don't think I could do it. It's just like, I had a friend, her name is Nicole, she sings as well, and she actually went to The Voice, and she did like the little, I guess, she did the little, she did the first thing where you actually go and sing in front of the judges,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a group of people, and she actually did that, and she said she started singing, and then she picked up the lyrics, and I was like,
oh no,
and she just froze. And she's like, I didn't know what to do. I just sat there and then, like, just start over. And then she started over. And then she said she just went, everything just went blank because she didn't know what to say. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't think I would be able to do that.
Do you?
I'm not afraid to perform or anything like that, but I don't know if I would be able to do that.
I was going to ask if you have any, like, stage fright or anything, but have you been playing any, like, live shows anywhere?
I've done, like, open mics and things like that. I'm not really like, I feel like I'll get up there. Like, I'll feel nervous, but I wouldn't be scared or afraid mm-hmm. to go up there and be like, okay, cool. Cause I know once I start singing, it's like, it just comes and I'm just ready. It just gets to this, like, I get into this zone where I'm just like, okay, it's time to go. Like, it's time to perform. And then when I'm off stage, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that.
I have the worst stage fright. Sam, have you ever seen me have to, like, introduce shows at the Thought Lot?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's hilarious because I have a venue that I run here where we're from, and I have to go on stage and introduce shows and introduce the artists sometimes. And
yeah.
I just, like, I've become this little tiny, like, cartoon mouse on stage because I have the worst stage fright. That's why I like the podcast, because nobody can see me except the people that we're talking to.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I just want to hide.
Like, yeah, when you can't see someone and you're like, when you're behind, it's like, okay, cool. When the videos, when the camera's on you, it's just like,
oh, freeze
okay.
up. Yeah, I hate to, like, I used to do YouTube, and you get so crazy just, like, looking at yourself for that long while you're editing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just, I can't imagine doing that ever again, because I would much rather be behind the camera now, because I just can't stare at myself for that long.
It's just crazy. It gets, like, so weird sometimes. You're just like, oh my gosh, like, oh, I'm gonna show my face.
I've seen you, like, sing, one of the first clips I heard you singing was a live clip that you had on your Instagram that I maybe it was like from a couple months ago. You were singing your Zed Alicia Clare cover.
Oh yeah, the Zed cover. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh man, this is like so good. I'm so excited to interview. I know.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
But we're gonna slowly just sort of start to wrap things up here.
Okay.
Have you been, you mentioned that you were working on an EP, you're starting to work on an EP.
Yeah.
You know, when would you like to have that out? Like, when are you, do you have any idea of, like, when you would put that out? you know,
sometime before the winter's over.
Okay.
Before the winter.
Because yeah, you said that you're pretty much working on it like 5 days a week at this point.
Yeah.
And are you working with like the same producer for your EP?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm working with. I'm going to be working with the same people. I want to work with other producers as well, but I want to work with the same producer.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be involved in my whole EP, you know, because he produced that chemistry for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have my cousin, she's a songwriter. She's going to help me write as well. I have like my family has like a good history, like music history,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty crazy. My grandmother's brother, he used to practice in my great grandmother's living room with the Temptations, which is really crazy. Which I never knew that until like probably like a couple years ago. My grandmother told me a story about it. His name was Bill. I never got a chance to meet him though, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, but I never got a chance to meet him. And I was just like, oh my gosh! I was like wondering about music, but I was like, where does my singing come from? And my grandmother sings as well. And my aunt, I think my mom sings, but I'm not sure. She like kind of hides it probably. I'm not sure, but it's really crazy. I'm just like, okay.
And where can people find you on social media? And can you go ahead and run off where people can find Bad Chemistry?
Okay, you can find Bad Chemistry on Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Apple Music, Napster, Amazon, Tidal. All my social media are Townsend Music. You can find me on SoundCloud, on their Audio Mac, wherever, under Townsend Music.
You know, so many people that we've... Ottawa's released on Tidal, too. But this is the second time we've heard somebody release on Tidal. And because it doesn't seem to be, like, super common for independent artists or smaller artists to do it. But it's really cool to see how that's growing and becoming, like, more of a trend.
A platform, yeah. I'm, like, ready. This is my first time on Tidal. I don't use Tidal either, so that's really weird.
Yeah, I've never actually looked it up to see like how it's used.
Tidal's used the same way as Spotify and all that stuff. It's basically the same type of player. It's just designed differently, and the audio quality is supposed to be better.
Isn't the premise that the artists get paid out more?
Yes, you also get. I believe Tidal artists get slightly bigger cuts from their streams.
Huh.
Oh wow!
Interesting.
Did not know that. That's interesting. Very interesting.
All right. Awesome. So. Basically, what we're going to do is I'm going to take a quick little break and we'll hang up with the phone and then I'll go ahead and I'll introduce the song and then we'll play it at the end of this episode. That all sound good?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, perfect. All right, that concludes our interview with Townsend. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And now you guys are going to be able to hear, as part of the Flat Nickel podcast, his new single, Bad Chemistry. Check it out.
Wake up, shook, you ain't next to me. Said you'd be at home, got no message on my phone. Where could you be? How can I sleep? Next day I call you out, you try to curb the blame. Say it wasn't you, baby, you think I'm a fool. Are you for real? Let me tell you how I feel. It feels like we've been here before, and it's always the same reaction. Every time we mix it up, we explore bad chemistry. I try to cut you off, but you are so touchy. When we're sipping on Hennessy, try to cool it down, but it always bubbles over. You think we're
put you in a verse. I can play it dirty too if that's what you like. Now I got two bad bitches on the side. We've been here before and it's always the same reaction. So bad that it's good. Let's call it complex attraction.
All right, guys, that does it for this interview. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in again next week. We post every single Wednesday. We are available on iTunes, Podomatic, and Google Play Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Make sure to drop us a like, a favorite, a subscribe, a five-star review wherever you're listening, and we will be sure to get another episode out to you guys next week.